Morning, everyone. Is that on? Yeah, okay, thanks. Sorry, not comfortable. Itueva, it's good to see you. And you know what? I'm so glad that it's 20 minutes past seven. No, seriously, because I was saying to myself, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't have very much to say. What am I going to do in all that time? I'll be done in 5 minutes, and the people will say, right, he's not prepared, right? So, yes. Thank you for all, you know, I'll be gone very soon. I am prepared.
You'll be gone very soon,
don't worry. Yeah. Amen. So I'm going to go straight into it. Like I said, I honestly wasn't sure what I'll be saying for 20 minutes because what I have here is really a simple, well, it sounds straightforward. And I this was something that we shared back in my home, was it last week or so, when we were just looking at the scripture together in our devotion. And, you know, God spoke to us. And, you know, so I thought I'll just share it with us as well. And it's one of those where thought, or I'll just say it, and hopefully we all go away challenged and perhaps can meditate on it and pray with it as well, because it's a big challenge. I've been praying that over the course of the last week. Praise God. Let's read Genesis chapter 12, and I'll read from verse 1 to 9 as we go along. And I'll make references to some other portions of the scripture. Now, this essentially is talking about is Abraham. Abraham, we all know Abraham, right? Abraham is our father. Father Abraham. He has many sons and daughters and children. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord together. I went to children department. It's clear. And Abraham remains perhaps the most, you know, talked about, and perhaps the foremost examples of faith that we have in the scripture. In fact, we refer to him popularly as the father of faith, because especially when we think about what faith is for our salvation and our walk with God. You know, we are reminded by the Apostle Paul when he writes, writing to the Romans, not just the Romans, every of his letter essentially, he reminds us that we are saved by faith, not of our works. And the prime example of that, even in the Old Testament, is Father Abraham, who believed God, and it was, the Bible says, imputed to him. It was allotted to him, it was counted, it was credited to him as righteousness. You know, it's an amazing thing to know that we are not saved by our good works. That's not what I want to speak about, but it just shows you the example of faith. And a bit of background, I tried to, you know, just read a little background about Abraham, and I didn't see much about it because the first mention of Abraham in the Bible is, you know, a few verses before chapter 12, in chapter 11, coming to the end of chapter 11. And it just gives us the genealogy of Abraham, starting from Noah's son. And it goes down all the way and tells us about Abraham's father and his family that lived in the land of, I don't know how it's pronounced, Ur. And they did live. This is not story. This is not Hercules and one of those stories. These are real people that lived a long time ago. And you go back in history, and these places are modern-day Iraq, you know. And so Abraham lived with that's the first introduction we get. Abraham's father, Terah, and Terah had three sons. One of them died after he had his children, I guess. Lot was one of the sons of Lot was a son of Nahor, And Abraham had another brother who was, Haran, that's right. So he had two brothers, Nahor and Haran, and Terah was their, sorry? Yes, Lot was the son of Haran, that's right. And Haran died, and Abraham took Haran into his, you know, as his son. What am I saying? It sounds all right in my head. Am I saying something wrong? Who died? Haran died. Yes, and Abraham took Lot. What did I say? Oh, sorry. Abraham took Lot as his son, and he lived with him. And that's the first introduction we have about Abraham. And the next thing we hear or we read about is God's call to Abraham. So I don't really know about, you know, the background of Abraham. Perhaps there is, you know, some historical reference and research and all of that that you may find. I even hear or read when I was just preparing for this. Obviously, Abraham is mentioned in the Quran as well. And there's some stories about Abraham in the Quran. You probably know it, about how he broke down his father's idols and destroyed the place. So I don't know how true that is. But I just, you know, the first mention we have of Abraham is about that. And then we hear about God's call. And God said to Abraham, so from verse 1 in chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," at the time he was still called Abram, "get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Hallelujah. Again, we're not giving much background, but personally, I have a sense that Abraham must have known God in some way or the other. Now, you read in the book of Joshua, when Joshua was addressing the Israelites before, you know, his time was up, really, and he reminded them about their history, and a reference is made there to the family of Abraham and Terah, really, who were idol worshippers. You know, so that tells you the kind of family Abraham grew up in. They were idol worshippers. And perhaps Abraham had a sense of God. Perhaps the story in the Quran, I don't know. Perhaps, you know, there's some history there that he must have been growing up in that setting, but somehow had encountered and acknowledged God. And maybe that's, you know, God speaking to him and saying to him, come out of this place. A little background again. Abraham's father, after a while of living in Ur, decided that you know, he was going to take his family from Ur into Canaan. Apparently, Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey, so I can understand when people want to migrate from Africa and come to London. Can you understand? I met someone who was so desperate. She's British, desperate to migrate to Australia. And, you know, and she told me all the things that she did to go to Australia, all the visa categories and trying to work around them to fit, you know, to make sure that she qualifies to go to Australia. And I said to her, what is it about Australia? I'm African. I can understand people wanting to move this way, but what is it? You have pretty much everything here. What is it about Australia? I was dumbfounded when she said to me, I love the sun. I just love the warmth. It's sunny. I'm sick of the cold and the weather here. I just want to go somewhere else. So you see, it's innate. Every man is looking for the best place. It is only natural. That's how migration happens. Even in Nigeria, everyone is moving from the villages to Lagos. And when you get to Lagos and you think, where's the next best place to go? It's London. Get on the next plane as a stowaway. Right, so Abraham's family, Terah wanted to take his family to the land flowing with milk and honey. For whatever reasons, he didn't make it. They stopped in Haran, and that's where they lived until Terah died. And so when God spoke to Abraham and said, leave this place and go to a place I'll show you. And I just made a note here. You see, God asked Abraham to embark on a journey from a place of comfort, a place of certainty, a place of familiarity, a place where, and as we read, when we see Abraham departing, we see that Abraham was wealthy. He had servants, he had property, he was comfortable, but obviously God had a plan, an eternal plan, a big, huge plan that was beginning with this man, Abraham. I was going to say young man, but he was about 70 years old, so I don't know if I can say young man. But God had a plan. Now, we all know how difficult living our comfort zone is. I don't need to overemphasize it, right? But a lot of times God does that with us. Not just a lot of times. The call of God on our lives, every one of us, 9.9999 out of 10 times, it takes us out of our comfort zones. Can I get an amen? Amen. God takes us out of our comfort zones. And the reason he does that he's taking us to a place of destiny. He's taking us, you know, to a place of promise. And when I talk about this, it can be, you know, a call into ministry. It can be, you know, a call, you know, I don't know, at your workplace. It might be something God is laying on our hearts to do. Whatever the call of God is, it always requires some commitment. When God shows up and is asking you to do something, 9.999 out of 10, it will require you getting away from that place of comfort. So don't think that it's strange. Well, here's what happened. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and all the souls they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Praise God. Note again, when God said to Abraham, leave, he didn't tell him where he was going. What did he say? He says, I will... where is it? It says, go from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Uncertainty. Come with me. I will take you to a place that I will show you. And this is very important because that's the crux of what I want to share tonight. God says, to a place I will show you. And obviously, you know, we often say that Abraham left not knowing where he was going. Yeah, because he didn't know where the end was. Of course, as a human being, naturally, he could have thought, right, where's the first place I think I can take my family to? All right, let's go in this direction. Let's head for Canaan, you know. And essentially, Abraham took everything. He uprooted himself, everything. It's not an easy thing to do. If you're a family man, to take your family, your children, your property, every single thing, uproot it, and then you're like, let's go. But that's what he did. He obeyed. And that's why Abraham remains the foremost example of faith for every believer today. Praise God. Think about yourself. I don't know what God is calling you to. I don't know what God has laid in your heart. We are in the beginning of a new year. And, you know, this is the time where lots of resolutions are made and lots of, self-reflection is made. Well, if you haven't done yours, well, you know, but it's about this season, you know. I don't know what God is laying on your heart to do. And you might think, it would require a lot. But put your trust in the Lord. We have a cloud of witnesses. And even we have become witnesses to ourselves. Amen. Now, Abraham journeyed through Canaan, as we'll read. Abraham in verse 6. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land then. So the people of Canaan still lived in the land then. And that's very interesting that he says that. You know, Abraham got to a place that was... people were still living in. He wasn't looking for a fresh new land where there's nobody, you know, and he's like, let's go and look at this place. What does this place look like? You know, but he went to a place that was already occupied. Again, I can't explain why, but it's pointed out there. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto Abraham, unto thy seed I will give this land. Unto thy seed I will give which land? This land. Where was Abraham? He was in Canaan. And God said to him, unto thy seed I will give this land. And what did Abraham do? There he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And the next verse is what strikes me. I don't know what version you have. It says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and high on the east. And there he builded an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Verse 9, and Abram journeyed on, going on still towards the south. Now, this is what God was ministering to my family as we read this. I couldn't get past the fact that God had appeared to Abraham right there where he was. He's made this trip all the way and come to a place. And then the Lord appears to him and says, this land where you are, I will bless you. And the next verses tells us Abraham journeyed on. And I said to myself, where is he going? Do you see what I'm seeing? And Abraham journeyed on. Why are you still journeying? The Bible tells us that he built an altar there. He recognized, you know, that God had spoken to me here. He set up an altar. He acknowledged that place. But many of us today, I don't know about you, but I would have thought, I probably would do and say, oh, wow, that was quick. Right. Here is the place. I've heard the word of the Lord. Here is the place. Begin to set up territory and set up camp and begin permanent site there. That's what sounds natural or logical to me. But then I read those verses and it says that Abraham journeyed on. He moved from there, he moved on further. And then he set up a place, he set up a tent. But even at that, if we go further from verse 9, we haven't got the time. I didn't think I'd be spending this much time. Here we go. And, you know, if we go further from there, we can read about Abraham's journey. I would have thought that journey ended the moment God said, this land where you are, I will give to your sons. But Abraham's journey took him even down to Egypt. Obviously, he was in Canaan. There was a famine. He had to leave that place and go down into Egypt. And we know the story of how his beautiful wife almost landed him in big trouble because, you know, he was afraid she was going to be taken. He told a lie to protect his family, etc., etc. He left Egypt. He came back, you know, in the direction of Bethel, you know. But I just couldn't get past that in the first place. What is he journeying on about? Like I said, many of us would have settled. And as I meditated on that with my family, as we looked at that, I could hear God speaking to us. We need vision. Brothers and sisters, we need vision. Abraham was a man, I believe, you know, for him to have carried on. I mean, it's not for him to have carried on. There's something beyond that that must have been in his head, in his heart. You know, he must have been seeing something further. And we need vision in our lives. Whatever call that God has placed on our lives, whatever God is calling us, like I said, whether it's a specific ministry, whether it's at home, whether it's, you know, to commit to something, I don't know, in church or in workplace or something that God is calling us to do, I just want to encourage us to open our eyes and see further. Ask the Lord to open the eyes of our understanding to see, not to get comfortable with, you know, just the first progress we made and say, or try to keep it small and limited, but to push boundaries. Amen. For the Lord, in honor of the Lord, in fulfilling the call of God in our lives, to open our eyes and see far. You know, I love this building. This place is beautiful. I was talking to my mom about, you know, this church. She thought the church is like 10 years old or maybe. And I said, so this church has been going since, you know, a long time, many years ago. It took one man with a great vision, you know, and he bought this property. And today, here we are expanding it, and we're doing things, and there's even more room for expansion. The council can say whatever they want to say. When the time comes, there'll be more expansion in the name of Jesus. When the time comes, God knows how he does his things. You know, so I just encourage us tonight. We need vision. Let's push boundaries. Go further. Don't be content at the first sight of rest or fulfillment. We need a revelation from God to see what his plans are beyond now. We need insight into God's eternal plan. Because, I mean, the question is, Abraham, Mr. God appears. You and I, you will agree with me. I would stop there. I know how many of us, Christians, the Lord speaks to us, you know, and that's it. But this man had foresight. And that was that day. I was meditating on all of this. But you know the interesting thing? The answer to why Abraham carried on journey is actually in the Bible. When you turn to Hebrews, God, and I believe it was the Spirit of God, definitely, ministering and revealing this to the writer of the book of Hebrews. Can we turn there? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. By faith, Abram. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Oh, he blows my head. He sojourned. He did not settle. He lived in tent in the land of promise. He was in the land of promise, yet he didn't set up camp. Why? Why? He was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And verse 10, he says what? For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When God said to Abraham, leave your father's house and go to a place I will show you, what this man was seeing and expecting was heaven. Hallelujah. He was seeing heaven. He was looking for a city whose foundations and whose builder. What a man. What man. Like I said, this is not Hercules. This is not some wonderful story that has been crafted by a very good storyteller. This was a man. This was a man who lived in Iraq. Maybe it would help you. This was a man. But what a man he was. And that's the challenge for us. And, you know, as I finish, it's not easy. It's not easy for us. We can desire, you know, however, we're all wired differently. And, you know, some might be different. And maybe not all of us can reason in that way. But I believe that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible says that the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. He knows the heart of God. So my prayer and my encouragement to all of us tonight is, let's pray and ask the Lord to open our eyes. Really, there's more to life and to what is happening than what we see going on around us. As children of God, we need to be sensitive to the move of God, to the work of God in our lives, in our community, in our time, in our generation. What is God doing? Where is God going? We need to be sensitive to that. Things happen around us, and we may just think, oh, you know, it's all about what we see, and how we might even judge some things good, you know, but there might be a long-term plan. There is an eternal plan. There is. We were reading about Cyrus, and how Cyrus got up one day and said to the children of Israel, well, and made a decree and say, you know what? You lot can go back to your home and go and rebuild Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that when the elders heard it, the Bible says, we were like men that dream dreams. They were like, what? Cyrus, the king? And this is not just Bible story. It's there. It's etched in history. You go to Iraq, you can see all of that decree that Cyrus wrote. It was unheard of. It was unthinkable for a king to rise up and say to the people that, you know, that were under his dominion and say, go back and rebuild your kingdoms and take all the things that were... So God does things that beats our imagination. Priscilla stood here and preached here one day, and I will never forget that. Esther, Queen Esther, the circumstances under which she became queen is dodgy. I remember as you said it. Vashti was being reprimanded for doing what, as a Christian, we would uphold. I will not be the king's, I don't know, puppet. And he's going, my wife is so beautiful. I feel good today. I'm the king. Get all the men. Where's my wife? Come around. Let them see your beauty. I just need to, you know, flaunt you around. And she said, I will not be. You know, and obviously his advisor said, this is a bad trend. If your wife is standing up to you, what's going to happen to the rest of us men? Are all these women, you know? And that's the only reason why the king wanted to get rid of her. And here comes an opportunity, and Uncle Mordecai is prodding his niece and saying, go and marry the king. Why? You know, it's, again, God, vision. What did Mordecai say? He said, who knows, for maybe you were meant for a time like this. All of these are just stories of things that, you know, apart from what is going on around us, we need vision. We need foresight. We need insight. And it's the Spirit of God that can help us. Otherwise, you and I, we are ordinary people. We are so ordinary. This is not about being clever. This is not about, you know, sitting down and studying the signs. This is about opening up to the Holy Spirit, being aware and asking him and saying, Lord, show me what is your heart. You know, open my eyes and help me to walk with you, understanding the times. May God bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, and help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on what is of value and worth for eternity, O God. Help us, O Lord. I know, Lord, you've called each one of us, and you've got plans and, Lord, purpose for each one of us, Lord. And that's true for each one of us here, your children. But help us, O God, to continue to keep our eyes on you. Fix our eyes on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll be finishing quickly soon. Just want to give you a few notices, and we're going to stand together and sing one more song. And at that time, if you come prepared to give to the Lord, it'll be an opportunity for you. Just quickly, this week, Tuesday, we'll meet here at 7:30 for prayer. Come and join us from 7:30.